Welcome to The Pemberley Podcast, a podcast where we discuss modern-day Jane Austen adaptations. Now covering Emma Approved, I'm Jillian Davis.
I'm Yolanda Rodriguez. Keep up with us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at The Pemberley. You can help support our running costs on patreon.com/thepemberley. And if you have any questions or comments, email us at thepemberleypodcast@gmail.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another really fantastic episode of the Pemberley Podcast. Woo. This is normally the part where, Yolanda, you and I dive into what we're reading or what we're watching. However, you and I got to do something very cool a couple of weeks ago, and we decided that the people have to know about what we did.
Through this website called GoFobo, they give away like free movie tickets all of the time to different screenings. And so I saw one for Always Be My Baby.
I also do want to interrupt really quickly and say that you have a talent for finding tickets to free events. Because like last year you got us tickets in the Forever Cemetery for like an FYC event for the Marvelous Amazon. Mrs. Maisel. And literally we show up and it's every amazing restaurant in town with a food truck is there. Like Pink's Hot Dogs, like that's like a $15 hot dog and we got one for free.
It's a talent.
You do have that talent. And they were screening it. It was amazing. There's pink stuff everywhere.
I will say a quick story. I'll track it back to 2008 when I went to a taping of Dancing with the Stars and it was the Jonas Brothers performed. And I was like literally like within 10 feet of the Jonas Brothers and I got to see them perform.
My jaw's on the floor.
So they're back now. So I have been always able to find like free things, cool things in LA.
Also, we're going to see the Jonas Brothers together in October.
So yeah, we went to go see Always Be My Maybe, which is now out on Netflix. But at that point, it was like still a week out from being released.
Yeah, online. A couple days early.
Yeah, so it was the full on premiere of this movie. It was like the whole red carpet. They had, of course, like Ali Wong and Randall Park were the stars of the movie and writers. There were a lot of different people who were you're like, oh, they're from Crazy Rich Asians. Oh, they're from Doctor Strange. It's like just different pointing out different people. And you're like, oh, I know them from YouTube or I know them from wherever. It was such a fun evening. They introduced like the director to
Ted Sanderos was there. And the director was there. Fully like I can't like emphasize enough how like I feel like you and I snuck in. Like we were not supposed to be there. We waited in this really long line. And we see the guy from Doctor Strange.
Yep.
And then some people try taking pictures with this kid. And we realize it's like the middle child from Fresh Off the Boat. We saw Randall Park leave.
That was the one thing where I was like, let's try to stick around and see Ali Wong. But they were trying to usher people out because it was like a walkway.
Security
was trying to get rid of people just so they, these bigger stars could have a cleaner exit too. But then I saw in pictures afterwards that Keanu Reeves was there.
Freaking Keanu Reeves. He just had the third John Wick movie come out.
Yeah.
And he's, what I think is also really incredible is you and I got to see this movie on the big screen. And I feel like not a lot of people are going to get that experience because it's a Netflix movie.
I think that's the unique thing that Netflix started to do. They start to roll out some of their films on a limited run, like in like bigger cities, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So if you're not like in LA. LA or New York, unfortunately, you may not get that opportunity. So I think it's cool that they're starting to do that with more of their movies.
Also, you never know what could be nominated for an Oscar.
That's
and
very
that
true.
Has to be a theater movie.
Yeah, that's why I think they do it.
Oh, Netflix is on top of it.
For some of their movies, I think that's why they're doing it. It's a really great movie. Basically, the premise is Ali Wong plays Sasha and Randall Park plays Marcus. They are childhood friends who grew up in the Bay Area. They were always friends. They have like this weird night where they actually get together. Things end very badly and they don't talk to each other for like 10 years. 15 years. And cut to 15 years later, Sasha is now this very successful and famous chef. Marcus is still living in his childhood bedroom at home with his dad and is like just helping out kind of around the house and with the family business sort of thing. And so their lives kind of come back together and it's like this intersection between they're, you know, this friendship that was so close at one point, but now, like, they're different people, and, you know, what does that mean now, sort of thing. So yeah. It's like reconciling their friendship and maybe their love interest too, which, you know, yeah. It's a rom-com, so
we're not gonna spoil it, but, like, you can come to your own independent conclusion based on the genre it represents.
I thought it was a really great movie, though. I would recommend, if you can, to watch it in a group, because I think that was the best setting.
It was really nice,
but it was a really funny movie. I really enjoyed it.
Watch it with your friends. Like, have a sleepover and watch it with your friends.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of fun things to watch,
yeah,
let's dive right into episode 49, The New Girl, written by Shauna Benson and Julie Benson. And what was really unique about this is the show was on hiatus for, like, a little over a month. Mm-hmm. So, like, we just said goodbye to the Elton Lee engagement wedding. Like, it was the last thing we saw was Emma wishing Caroline the best of luck on her endeavors.
Yeah.
And now we're back after a month of, like, nothing.
Right.
And there's new stuff going on. We have a new player in the office.
Yeah, because it sounds like at this point it's been a few weeks now that Jane Fairfax, who we finally see on camera, has been embedded into this team in the office for a little while, and she's, like, hit the ground running. She's super involved in everything they're doing, and she's already bringing in a lot of different partners and helping them to move things along, because at the end of that last arc, as we mentioned, like, Emma felt awful after that arc, and she was like, I want to do things that better the world, and we're making the world a better place, one event at a time, sort of thing. And that's when Alex Knightley was like, and you know who the perfect person would be? Jane Fairfax. Mm-hmm. Cut to now, a month later, Jane Fairfax is part of the team.
She's part of the team, and her whole thing is integrating Emma Approved more into the helping people fundraiser sector of the world.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, this whole episode is basically meet Jane Fairfax.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because Emma is, like, talking to the camera, and then she's like, and something, something, Jane Fairfax. And she has to say that, like, three times before Jane, like, she's like Beetlejuice or something.
Yeah.
Like, she sort of reluctantly appears around the corner. She's clearly very shy, and she clearly is not, like, happy about talking openly about business
or being on camera.
Yeah, because Emma is sort of like, why don't you tell us what you're working on? And she's like,
didn't you get my email?
I did. That's the latest.
Would you mind repeating it?
Why? Was there something you didn't understand?
No, not for me. For them.
Oh.
It's been, like, what, months now that Emma Approved, they're used to, like, these sort of set up questions that Emma does. And this is Jane's, like, weirdly first go at it.
Yeah.
I think she's been in the office for a few weeks, and maybe she just isn't used to. Well, I guess they haven't been filming, right, for the past month, so.
Yeah, they give her privacy, and now it's time to throw the baby in, like, the deep end.
Yeah, so she's getting used to being filmed all of the time. Yeah, I think it's interesting because we've heard so much about Jane from Maddie Bates, from Emma, and different perspectives, too. From Maddie, it was like, Jane is literally the most perfect human in the world. And from Emma, it's like, Jane is the most perfect human in the world. And it's like, you know.
Same thing. Different attitudes.
Yeah, exactly. So it's funny that now we finally get to meet Jane. And I don't feel like, honestly, I have a great handle on who she is yet. Just because I think it was, like, a bit of an awkward setting for her to be introduced. Because she's like, doesn't like being on camera. She just seems like someone who's, like, puts her head down and, like, works and just wants to get the work done. She's here for a purpose, and she wants to fulfill that purpose in a non-showy way, versus I think Emma does the same thing, but she does it in a showy way. Mm-hmm. So contrasting ways of, you know, broadcasting their accomplishments. Emma does broadcast them, whereas I think for Jane, you know, Maddie or some people around her broadcast her accomplishments for her.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the whole episode is just kind of like there to and fro, and then Jane leaves and Alex comes in and he's like, I hope you're not tormenting her. And she's like, I'm not. Because, like, I kind of don't know what to make of Jane, you know? Like, it's not like I like her or dislike her or anything.
She just
seems kind of awkward. Yeah, it's interesting because, like, Emma doesn't hate her, but she doesn't. She wants them to, like, kind of. They've been comfortable in their separate lanes for a long time.
Right.
And now they're under one roof and she's working for her.
Yeah.
And I think this kind of creates some conflict because Emma's always had her own personal issues with Jane, just, like, being so perfect and, like, being less showy and less talkative as her. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because, like, I think Emma's still technically her boss. And so she wants things to happen her way.
I mean, it's interesting because I think if you were to kind of break it up into departments, I feel like Jane is more collaborative with Knightley, actually. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Harriet's more collaborative with Emma. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, decisions kind of still need to go through Emma.
I mean, it is called Emma approved.
Yeah, yeah. But I think, like, so businessy stuff, it feels like, though, Emma fully trusts Knightley to kind of run that. So she's not as involved. So that's the part where Jane's more in that section.
But it's just kind of annoying to Emma that she's not an in front of the camera person and she needs to have her hand held throughout this whole, because I mean, Emma's like influencer-esque.
Yeah.
And Jane is not.
Instagram influencer culture wasn't a major thing yet when this show came out. But I think if it had come out now, it would definitely be more of that. It would be like flat lays and all the perfect like outfit of the days and the boomerangs and all that different stuff. Obviously, she had her fashion blog and was always upkeeping that. So that was a major part of it, too. But yeah, she's fashion blogger / early Instagram influencer.
She was like the OG Instagram influencer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so after Jane leaves, Knightley kind of comes in, strolls in, and she's like, that's how you hit a cue, because she says like something about, it took Alex a little time to get used to the camera, but now he's used to it. Now he's great on camera.
And then in walks Knightley.
In walks Knightley. And she's like, you think I'm tormenting her, don't you? And he's like, kind of. Do we think Emma's the type to, like, torment people?
I don't know, because I feel like she doesn't worry about making people feel uncomfortable, because she's comfortable with their situation. So she's like, they'll just get used to it. Mm-hmm. Everyone else got used to it. It took Knightley a few months. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if she intentionally or unintentionally sees that. What, like, hey, you're doing something that's not making someone feel comfortable. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting. So I'd like to pose a question for you and I to discuss, which is, what is it we think is, like, the thing that Emma kind of can't stand about Jane? Because we met her. Like, we're not going off of hearsay at this point. Remember when Darcy was, like, a ton of hearsay and then we finally met him and we had, like, an opinion? Like, we've now met Jane. So she seems fine. Like, why do we think Emma, like, doesn't like her?
I think it's just the competitiveness, because they've grown up together, right? Because it's always like, I have these accomplishments. Also, Jane has these accomplishments, but she wants to be just recognized a little more for hers. And I think, again, we've talked about this, but they're in such different lanes. Jane is a more in the public sector and helping out with nonprofits and all of that and doing different kind of work, whereas Emma's working with high profile clients like senators and different things. So it's tough to compare them, but Emma really is comparing themselves. Like, you know, Emma should be happy that they're both successful in their own right. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, I think because they're always compared, where Emma feels like she can't be compared to anyone and she's doing like her own thing. Like, I think that's what frustrates her, mm-hmm. is that she is being compared to someone as being just as great. But she's like, no, I'm my own great.
They are. And I also think they're just, like, very different personality types, you know? Like, so it's interesting because now they're in the same office doing, like, working on the same stuff. So we'll see how that goes.
Which then we see that Emma gives her an office camera so that she will be recorded at all times, no matter what she wants to do. So
it's funny because I think that's definitely along the lines of unintentionally tormenting her.
Yeah.
But I think Emma's just kind of in this mindset of, like, this is something you need to be comfortable with because it's what we do here. And I've given you your own thing to make you more comfortable. Yeah. And it's really making her less comfortable.
Does it have to stay here? Everyone has a camera in their office. It's kind of the rules. That's very big sister, Emma.
Ah, you're welcome!
Which technically we still don't know that Knightley knows that his camera is on all the time.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Because you know when, like, he was first, the camera was first there and Harriet was there and he was like, oh no, don't worry, it's not recording. And Harriet's like, but the red light means, never mind. Does he not realize he's being recorded this whole time? I think he's figured it out by now.
Oh, Knightley, you're such a smart idiot.
Then we go into episode 50, The Bachelor, also written by Shauna Benson and Julie Benson.
This is a juicy episode. Emma, who's wearing a beautiful white cape of a jacket, and Harriet have been preparing all day for a very big meeting with one Frank Churchill. I'm so glad we got to see him again. He's so, like, charismatic and funny and sensational.
I think it was funny when Harriet rushes in and she's like, the fox is in the hen house! The fox is in the hen house!
The fox is early! The fox is coming to the office! Well, get out there! No, let him come in here!
Emma Woodhouse.
Frank Churchill, how are you?
And then he comes in a little bit later and he's like, so I'm a fox.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, dang. I mean, he is, but it's like, now he knows that they think that.
Frank is very a charming guy. He knows very much so how to cater to Emma's ego. And he does that by also knocking down Jane's strengths.
This was something I'm hoping, because I know that, this is a spoiler, and if you don't know by now, get out or keep listening. But essentially, like, it turns out, like, towards the end of the series that, like, Jane and Frank are a thing.
Yes.
What I wasn't clear on, I forget if this we ever get this clarification, because I think in the book they were all, like, because in the book they were secretly engaged to each other, and I think they were secretly engaged even when he got to town. Mm-hmm. In this version, I'm unsure if they're still secretly together. Because the thing is, if they're not together, I feel like they've kind of had their eye, or at least he's had his eye on her. Because remember, he was asking to be at Maddie Bates's table
a couple of
episodes ago. So we know he's kind of known about Jane Fairfax and, like, hasn't really cared about her for a while now. And he leans pretty heavy into this, like, she's really unremarkable. Who would want to date her? Blah, blah, blah. And I was offended on behalf of Jane.
I'm not sure if it's shyness or self-esteem. Maybe she doesn't think she's pretty enough to be on camera. I mean, not with you as an example.
Oh, please. You know perfectly well that Jane is a very attractive woman.
That's your opinion. But she doesn't possess your exquisite cheekbones?
I guess there's a couple different possibilities, right? Where he's either overcompensating for the fact that he's trying to hide it, or he's being like a mean kid, you know, teasing someone who he actually likes.
Yeah.
Or trying to make her as undesirable as possible to Emma to, like, not have her want to matchmake her up with someone, too. So that could be another possibility where, and I don't think Emma would ever, I don't know, who knows, maybe Emma would, like, offer her services to Jane and be like, I could help find someone for you, sort of thing, and Frank's trying to, like, steer her away from that or something. But yeah, he says a lot of
unflattering,
like, yeah, unflattering things about Jane, and he's just like, she's no Emma Woodhouse, but does she have your cheekbones? And, like, when they get into, you know, then they start talking about the fundraiser. Harriet comes back in. They start planning the fundraiser, and they're like, okay, human rights, cool, what can we do? Bachelor auction, iffy, but we're going with it, like, sort of thing. And Emma's like, cool, everyone in the office will be part of this bachelor auction. And he's like, well, you know, hopefully someone will throw a couple dollars at that Jane girl.
Yeah.
Sort of thing of, like, you know, hopefully someone will, you know, take pity and bid on her. But
really heavy handed.
It's just,
you know?
Like, you know, he says it nicer than that. But still.
That's not too far
it's
off
not,
from what he
yeah.
said, because he made it. He didn't hide that.
He does go a bit far with tearing down Jane. It's a little weird because even in the comments, people are confused of, like, aren't they together at this point? Like, what's going on? Like, he's being really rude. And is it, like, very much so trying to side with Emma, but you're so anti-Jane, too, that, like, even Emma's not that anti-Jane, you know?
Yeah, even she's kind of sticking up for her. Like, she's not, like, she's a desirable single woman. She needs to put herself out there,
which,
you know?
we've seen her do before when Caroline was also like, I've met Jane and she's not that great and blah blah blah, and Emma's like, well, no, she's doing good work too, and, you know, she's great in the nonprofit work she does. When someone is going against tearing down someone that Emma actually admires and respects, she will stand up for them. And it's weird because I think she does also admire and respect Frank, so she doesn't want to go up against him too much either.
Well, he's just being so heavy-handed, you know? It's kind of like he's going so hard on Jane that she requires to be stood up for. Like, it's funny. Like, I'm trying to think about it. Like, even if they were secretly together and they were like, yeah, let's try and, like, not let people know that we're together, I feel like he really is going too hard in the other direction.
Oh, yeah,
he's basically like, she's not as hot as you, Emma.
Yeah.
Like, he basically says that.
Yeah.
Jinx. And I, as his secret girlfriend, would be very pissed off and be like, you didn't have to take it that far.
To what lengths are you taking this? Like, why do you need that? Why do you need to hide this so much?
Yeah.
That you were trying to, like, really throw people off the scent of, like, you two are together. There must be something bigger at play of why he's being like this.
Well, I remember from the book one of the things, because people thought, like, I feel like for a long time we were led to believe that it would be about Emma and Frank Churchill. Because they're so similar. They're so alike. They're really perfect for each other. And, like, he's definitely, like, being flirty with her. And, like, the thing in the book was, people thought Emma was going to be a lot more heartbroken by his being engaged to Jane because he was definitely showing, like, affection for Emma. Right. And it's just, like, very coincidental that she kind of never developed those feelings for him because she totally should have. Like, he's flirting so hard. He's going for it.
Yeah, I think there even Harriet has a line where she's like, oh, Frank seems to really like you. And she's like, he likes all of us. You know, she's still making it the us, the we, that everyone, she never wants to center in on, like, no, this guy likes you. That's why she missed the signals from Senator Elton. She was like, Senator Elton just loves spending time at the office. He loves all of us. But it was like, no, Emma, he likes spending time with you.
She's kind of like doing the opposite thing that she was doing for, or no, the same thing rather that she was doing for Elton. Cause like, she was like, Harriet, he likes you so much. When really it was like, no, he likes you, yeah, Emma. Like, yeah, she can't tell when
she missed the signals, the yogurt versus the flowers.
Like, she doesn't think anyone really likes her. And she's like, no, everyone likes you.
I think because love is so not on her mind.
Yeah.
It's like, she's just like, I'm the matchmaker. I'm the planner. Mm-hmm. I'm helping my clients. Mm-hmm. She's not like, and they're possibly romantically interested in me and I could be interested in them. Mm-hmm. She's just not thinking about that at all.
No, I agree. And it's like kind of a major blind spot for her.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay if she doesn't want them back, but she needs to know when someone's interested in her and when she needs to, like, throw that away. Yeah. And speak up and say, you can't like me.
Definitely. So then it kind of ends with then they're deciding to do this bachelor auction at the end of the month. They have a month to plan it, or probably a couple weeks. Harriet's like, I don't want to be part of this whole auction deal, especially if, like, Frank thinks Jane, who's beautiful, can't get many bids. Like, what will people think of me? Which is like, oh no, Harriet.
She should have, like, more self-esteem than that. But
yeah, but I think in general she was not comfortable with being auctioned off,
which is great because she's the event coordinator now. Yeah, and so she can run the show.
She's definitely going to get to step up more and show more responsibility and leadership, which is exciting for Harriet.
Yeah.
So with that, let's go to the comments, where we read original YouTube comments from when these episodes first aired. Starting with episode 49, Farlandier says, long comment, as much as I know that Miss Fairfax is being portrayed as reticent, I can't help but sympathize immediately with her reaction to being on camera. The big sister bit was very nicely staged, too, demonstrating a touch more literary knowledge in Jane's side than with Emma, a point of academic accomplishment established early in the Austen novel. Very nice to finally meet the much-anticipated rival. I look forward to seeing her wince awkwardly through many scenes to come.
It's a very precocious comment.
So that's an interesting thing to kind of, like, input more of, like, Jane's knowledge and in, like, little lines like that. But, you know, yeah, we are going to finally see these two, you know, strong women in the same room.
Yeah. Quill Cafe says, welcome back. There's an awkward turtle party happening in the office today.
Yeah, everyone was a little awkward in that first episode, yeah. Love GG3 says, am I the only one that finds Jane super rude? I mean, Emma is right. The videos are an excellent promotional tool to help grow their business. Jane doesn't seem shy the way people are saying. She just seems kind of stuck up.
Controversy.
Interesting take. I don't agree. I think it is something that she's just not used to. And it's like, who would be used to that? I think it's if it's such a different thing that you're not used to, it would be like, why do we need to do this? Why are we spending resources on this and time? I already emailed you everything that we're doing. Why do I need to explain it to you on camera when I could be working? Mm-hmm. So I think it is just a difference in approaches, but they'll warm up to each other and their different style. They're like clashing styles right now.
Yeah.
So they just got to find a way to work together.
I agree. Yeah, she doesn't seem stuck up at all to me.
No.
She seems just, like, uninterested in the camera.
Yeah, exactly. For episode 50, Lauren says, I feel like Emma missed a slip-up on Churchill's part. when he says, "Are you telling me she picked that wallpaper in her office? That means he's been in Jane's office."
Ooh, yeah. I didn't even see that one coming.
He must have stopped by and like looked in, peered in, and was like, "What's this all about?" And maybe saw Jane. Maybe
this is one of those times when I really wish I knew what the layout of the office was. I wish I knew who was on the way in. Was in the back.
Need a map.
We need a blueprint of this office.
Yeah, exactly.
Miriam says, "I think Emma's 'Everyone Loves Humans' is the Emma approved version of 'Everyone Deserves Tea.'"
Yeah.
That's very cute.
Which on DFTBA, they actually, I don't know if they still do, they had merch, like the mug, I think a shirt, that said 'Everyone Loves Humans.'"
So, oh, that's really cute.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, Emma says, "Frank was pretty annoying, though charming in this episode. But I actually thought that Emma handled herself pretty well. Sticking up for Jane by saying that she's attractive and has a creative eye was nice to see. Though it's clear that she secretly enjoys Frank's little digs at Jane."
Yeah, that's actually another thing, is I kind of feel like Emma doesn't want to bash Jane because she is a good person. It's not like she has like a big issue with her. But I think what she likes about Frank is that he has supposedly the same opinions about Jane, and they can kind of have those little moments in common where they're like, she's so efficient. She's so number this.
Yeah. So cool. We have our next event. Not really a new client yet. I mean, it's just a new character in the office. We have Jane Fairfax. They're going to be planning this bachelor auction. So more to see.
This episode has been
Pemberley Podcast Approved.